Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of my podcast. I'm your host, Coretta Singer, and this episode we're going to be talking about self-denigration. What is it? Do you do it? And how can you stop? First of all, before I get into anything, apologies for taking about 2 months to do this second episode. A lot of stuff went down, chief among them being my computer died, like totally died. So there was a whole big to-do. I had no money to buy another one. There was a crowdfunding campaign and people really showed up and supported me. And thankfully, right now I'm back up and running with a brand new computer. So I really want to take this opportunity to say thanks to everybody for everything that they've donated. No matter how small your donation was, it is greatly and deeply appreciated from the bottom of my heart. And for those people who couldn't donate and decided to instead share the link as far as and wide as they could, I appreciate your support so much. So let's get into this particular topic, self-denigration. What is self-denigration? The dictionary definition for self-denigration says it is a disparagement or belittlement of oneself. You know what I don't like about dictionary definitions is when they give you words that you have to then look up to try and define the thing that you're already trying to look up. But don't worry, Coretta's got your back. I'ma break it down for you. It means to speak damagingly of or criticize in a derogatory manner, to sully or defame oneself, to treat oneself as lacking in value or importance, belittling. So as you can tell from that, self-denigration is not exactly a very positive thing. This has been a topic I've been really wanting to talk about, and it's been difficult to talk about because it's something very close to me. What kicked off the inspiration to talk on this topic was scrolling through Facebook one day and coming across a little four-panel comic by chuckdrawsthings.tumblr.com. And this particular comic was called Take the Compliment. Now, I can't share pictures on here, obviously, because it's a podcast, but if you want to look for it for yourself and follow along, you can go to Google and type in Chuck Draws Things, Take the Compliment. And if you go to the Images tab, it should be the first image that shows up, and you'll know it's the right thing because all the characters will be pigeons. So, yeah. But anyway, to sum it all up, it's about an artist who's being complimented, and his knee-jerk reaction is to, you know, immediately tear himself down. And then someone says to him, look, you need to stop self-depreciating and start being confident. And it really struck a chord with me, and I said, you know what? This lets me realize that self-denigration is something that not just I'm doing, but other artists are doing it as well. So why do I do this? Why does any artist do this? There's a psychological rabbit hole that we can venture down in discussing this. Self-denigration can be both a symptom and a cause. It can be a catalyst or a red flag for something more complicated. But I'm not a psychologist, so I'll do my best to speak from experience and observation and decipher things as best I can. Trying to stop self-denigration, of course, isn't something that can happen overnight, and sometimes I still catch myself doing it. And maybe you do too, because the reality is many artists do this. So instead of asking why do artists or creatives self-denigrate, I had to ask why do I self-denigrate? Maybe in finding the reason or reasons, I can find something that is relatable and hopefully help someone along the way. So the first reason that we might self-denigrate is that we do it to protect ourselves. We try to make ourselves smaller in order to give people less material to tear down. As an artist, you're always going to get both compliments and criticism. However, critics can tend to be the most vocal, and not all that criticism is going to be constructive. As a matter of fact, it can be pretty brutal. You can show your art to 100 people, and 90 people will like your work. But the 10 people who don't like your work want to let you know that they hate it. They despise it. And let's face it, there are assholes out there who just want to tear you down for sport. Anyone who makes art will experience criticism. It's a package deal. We get told to grow a thicker skin. We get asked to change our entire personality to grow and mature almost overnight, but no one really tells us how. It sometimes feels as if we're meant to flip a switch overnight and suddenly wake up immune to all negative criticism. But we know that this doesn't happen. Growing a thicker skin takes years, and no one gives instructions for how to actually do it. It's like just saying, get good. So, we devise our own coping mechanisms. We will subconsciously do whatever we can to mitigate any incoming attacks. One way is to tear ourselves down to stop others from doing it for us. Like a dog laying on its back as a sign of submission. Again, as a creative person, your self-esteem can take a hell of a beating, and not everybody comes out unscathed. Being an artist is hard. There's the technical stuff, and there is also the mental stuff. Of course, not everybody is the same. You have introverts and extroverts. And extroverts will have an easier time sharing their work and being open. But if you are a massive introvert like me, it takes immense confidence and courage to show your art to anyone. At some point, we should all accept that other people are going to have opinions, no matter how good you are. Everyone gets criticized. Your favorite singer, movie director, actor, actress, artist, no matter what they do, other people are going to feel the need to chime in, especially negatively if they feel like it. Like I said, it's a package deal. You'll get the compliments, but there are always going to be the criticisms. The thing is, we shouldn't let other people's opinions stop us from doing what makes us happy. And don't let their opinions allow you to tear yourself down. You're a star. Shine like one. The second reason that I figured artists might self-denigrate is that we don't want to be that guy or that girl. So there's an account on Instagram that I follow. They basically amass artwork from all over the world and then they post it and they let you know who the artist is and that kind of thing. And on one particular day, they posted up something unusual, which was not an image, it was actually text. And the text said, "Listen to people talk. All the artists who think they're amazing usually aren't. And all the ones who think they have a lot to learn are amazing. And if they aren't yet, they will be. Keep on learning." Now, there are two sides to this coin. Yes, it's true. Some artists have a fair bit of Dunning-Kruger syndrome. Some people talk about how good they are but don't have the level of work to back it up. You know, that guy or that girl. Most humble artists are typically much better at their craft because they let their work speak for them. The blurb is meant to be encouraging, but can offer up a flip side. And that is that having confidence about yourself is bad. It's praising the artist while simultaneously encouraging a self-destructive behavior. And I think that most artists notice this, but never say it. I know I notice this, and I try as much as possible not to be that person. If you think you're good, you probably suck. So you keep yourself down hoping to be seen as amazing. It's kind of a weird reverse psychology thing. Think about it this way. Women, right? I'm a woman. When I spend a long time putting up my hair and doing my nails, well, I never really do my nails much, but, you know, doing my makeup, putting on nice clothes and then going out, I do it because I want to look good. And it's nice to be complimented that you look good. But I know that I can't say that I look good because the minute I say that I look good, I get looked at like I'm vain and narcissistic. And it's kind of the same way with art. You don't want to say that your art is amazing because you are afraid that you might come across as being vain and narcissistic. There's a subconscious part of us that knows this, but in trying to be the good artist, we can take this too far. So we put ourselves down in hopes of not rubbing people the wrong way and coming off as a bad artist or creative. The problem is, the more we repeat the negative, the more we believe it. Now, the third reason why we might self-denigrate is that we know we aren't there yet. We see our idols and what we want our work to look like, but we aren't there yet, and we feel that any praise is undeserved. We're constantly thinking we're not good enough, and it's destructive to the self. And this doesn't even have to start with your art or just stay with your art. It can seep over to any area of your life. Even though we're doing it as a coping mechanism, again, when we say it enough, we start to believe it. And let me make this clear. This is different from looking at your work and genuinely seeing where you can get better. Knowing you can do better in and of itself isn't bad. It's good to recognize where you can improve. But you shouldn't hang on to trying to achieve perfectionism and in the process tear yourself down. Perfectionism breeds a sort of neuroticism, and that neuroticism breeds anxiety and depression, thinking we may never achieve how we want our art to look. And that anxiety and depression can start eating away at your self-esteem and confidence. It's a kind of fear. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Was that good?
Okay, all right, I'm gonna stop. That self-destructive detritus or debris can begin to seep into every area of our lives, including our art, but not just limited to our art. And that's where the danger lies. You may start by tearing down your art, but maybe you might start tearing down yourself, the way you look, the way you talk. You start seeing all these imperfections. If we aren't careful, our inability to cope with not being there yet can lead to something called imposter syndrome. You may have heard of it, you may not have heard of it, but let me give you the definition of what imposter syndrome is. It is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Despite external evidence of their competence, those experiencing this phenomenon remain convinced that they're frauds and do not deserve all they have achieved. Individuals with imposterism attribute their success to luck or as the result of deceiving others into thinking they're more intelligent than they perceive themselves to be. Now, I did this after winning Kingston in 2016. I was convinced that there was something wrong, that there was a glitch in the proverbial matrix. I couldn't understand how I won. It was so weird to me. I was looking at all of the other people that were competing alongside me, and I said, they're so good. I was expecting Bim and Bam to win, and I was just shocked when it was announced that I was the winner. I was absolutely convinced that something was wrong. It wasn't until someone else stepped in and basically looked me in the face and said, Coretta, this is all of the years of hard work finally paying off. And it wasn't until this was said to me that I finally started to calm down and just accept, okay, I won, I worked hard, and it finally paid off. So, how do we stop this madness? How do we deal with the effects of years of coping with the trauma experienced as an artist? First of all, we need to identify that it exists and that we do it. Acknowledging that we self-denigrate and that we are tearing ourselves down unnecessarily in a long-lasting sort of negative way is important. Once we've acknowledged that, we can work towards fixing it. You know, it's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous. The first step in getting better is acknowledging that you have a problem in the first place. Secondly, we have to unlearn the idea that confidence equals arrogance. We still have to straddle that thin line between confidence and arrogance. Humility should not mean tearing yourself down. You can be confident and humble. You get to be a good artist by practicing, and any move towards that goal should be counted as a success. It's said that there are 1,000 failures in every artist. The sooner we get them out, the sooner we can get to the good stuff. We can be humble, but not self-depreciating. Third, surround yourself with people who will help you to see your worth. Appreciate the people who will kick you in the rear when you start doubting yourself. Learn to accept constructive criticism from people you know mean you well and want to see you thrive. Find your tribe. even if that tribe is one other person. Now, lastly, as I said earlier, self-denigration can both be a catalyst and a symptom. I can't talk about self-denigration without acknowledging that it might also be due to the fact that the person is dealing and struggling with depression or any other mental illness. Art can be a great platform for expression, but again, it makes the artist vulnerable. And for those suffering with mental illness, it can open them up to being attacked in ways that further compound their struggle. There is only one you, and your art is unique. Not everyone will get it or get you. But you should be happy that it exists and that people who do understand and appreciate you and your art will be happy that both you and your art exist. Don't worry if you can't fix self-denigration right away. It takes time. I mean, even for me, it's still a work in progress. One of the reasons that I wanted to also talk about this now was my experience with my crowdfunding campaign. When my computer broke down, I figured that was it. I had no money, I had no way to get myself back up and running or back on my feet. And I was just convinced that no one cared, that all the work I was doing didn't mean anything to anybody. And boy, oh boy, was I ever wrong. When I posted that crowdfunding campaign and people started donating, I was just blown away. It was such a warm, fuzzy feeling that all of the times that I was tearing myself down, convincing myself that I didn't matter, I was wrong. And here was the proof that people do care about what I do, and they were willing to put their money where their mouth is and say, hey, look, we care about you and your art. Again, I appreciate every single person who donated and who shared. Thank you again so much. So here's a little tidbit I found also on the internet. It's from someone called Maramahan, and it says, here's a tip I picked up from a friend that's helped me a lot. Replace self-depreciating jokes with ironically self-aggrandizing jokes. Like every time I trip and fall, instead of saying, I'm just a disaster human, I say, I'm the epitome of grace and beauty. Or like when I draw a picture I'm not 100% happy with, instead of saying, my art is trash, I say something like, you know, it's time we replaced the Mona Lisa. When you do that, you get to make a joke, but you're also getting practice building yourself up, you know? And eventually it becomes a reflex, and you get so used to it that you can say nice stuff about yourself even when you aren't joking. So if you self-denigrate, I challenge you to make the conscious decision to work it out of your life and enjoy your creative journey with all the bumps in the road and twists and turns along the way. After all, life is about the journey, not just the destination. Speaking of which, we're at the end of this little journey. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and maybe learned a few things here and there. I am going to strive to put these out more frequently. Feel free to follow me and drop any questions or topics you want me to talk about on my Facebook page, Coretta3D. That is Coretta, the number 3, and D. Cause she wants the D. Once again, I'm Coretta Singer. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep creating.